Fake news, what is it and where did it come from? We'll talk about it on this hour of the morning show. But first, it is our Wisconsin Public Radio year-end membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague Mike Arnold. Our single largest source of funding is listener support, and that means that in this season of giving, your gift is so important. Take a few minutes right now to support the programs that you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
These are the first hours of the drive, and it's always important to sort of start on the right foot, and we did last hour. It was the first hour of the pledge drive, and we met our goal. Thanks so much for everybody who made that possible. Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect, so we hope that you'll take advantage of that. It's up to $4,900. This generous match is from 9XM Leadership Circle members, including donors from Wisconsin Rapids and La Crosse, and it means that they will match every dollar you give.
So important. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Double your support for the programs you love with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
After that Christopher Kimball conversation in the last hour, I'm thinking about food. So a large slice of WPR's budget pie, the biggest slice, is listener support. So all of our funding sources, the state and federal governments and businesses, are important, of course, but your contribution makes a huge difference. That's why we're asking for your support right now. You help make WPR be the amazing service that it is, thanks to your listener support. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We know WPR is personally important to you, and it's probably also important for you that everyone in the state has access to this high-quality information and entertainment.
So become a member with a contribution of, say, $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. You're not only doing something good for yourself, you're also doing something good for the whole community. And if you do it right now, your pledge will be doubled because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect. WPR is listener-supported. Your participation is very important. So be a hero. Give to WPR.org at 888-202-2552.
During this membership drive, we'd like to say thanks for your support in a very special way. When you pledge $10 or $20 a month to support WPR, you can choose a thank you gift that will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank in your area. Let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio and do two good things with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Such a great gift. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this year-end membership drive while we have a match going on right now, dollar for dollar. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Arnold. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount, it will be matched. And because the single largest source of our funding is listeners, your gift is so important for the WPR programs that you enjoy.
And giving to WPR is easy. It's not a complicated gauntlet for you to make a pledge. It's very easy. We don't like do a background check. We don't have people follow you around and make sure you don't do anything weird. All we need is your name, contact information, and the amount of your pledge. That's really it. That's all we need and how you'd like to pay. That's it. It's easy, simple. Right?
It is. That is right. It takes just a few minutes to make your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio, and your support right now really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we do have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect. So if you pledge $50, they will match it, and it'll be worth $100. We need to take advantage of that full pledge, that full match. So your pledge right now is really important. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support for WPR will go twice as far.
And this pledge drive, you can do two good things at once. Choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month. month, and you'll provide meals to those in need in your area. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Support your WPR listening. Contribute right now while we have a match going on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much. President Trump suggested in a tweet recently that there should be a fake news trophy contest. And the polling company Rasmussen took him up on it a week ago, surveying 1,000 people. The results? 40% of respondents think Fox News should get the fake news trophy. The second place winner, according to the poll, was CNN, which received 25% support. The poll also found that 65% of likely voters think fake news is a big problem. And that's where we'll spend this hour of the morning. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Joshua Dar is an assistant professor of political communication at Louisiana State University. He studies American government and political communication with an emphasis on political behavior, campaign strategy, and the media. Joshua, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's go back to February when this whole, quote, enemy of the people phrase came out. Trump initially tweeted the fake news media failing New York Times, NBC News, ABC, CBS, CNN is not my enemy. It is the enemy of the American people. He then elaborated on the comment during a speech at CPAC a few days later. Let's take a listen.
The dishonest media did not explain that I called the fake news the enemy of the people, the fake news. They dropped off the word fake. And all of a sudden, the story became the media is the enemy. They take the word fake out. And now I'm saying, oh, no, this is no good. But that's the way they are.
So how would you explain the difference between what the president sees as the fake news media and what everybody else sees?
Well, I try not to get inside his head too often with what he means when he says those things. But I think that he named just about every major mainstream media outlet in the country in his initial tweet there. And then when he clarified it, said, well, the fake news is what I meant. And so for him, fake news has become a convenient kind of a pejorative way to talk about news that he doesn't like, perhaps news that's reporting on aspects of his administration that he's not necessarily something he wants to have them talk about. And so for the purposes of what people think about the media, what if media really is the enemy of the people, if that's what he's trying to frame this discussion as, media trust attitudes have stayed about the same throughout his administration. There's been a bit of a polarization based on party, but for large part, the people don't necessarily seem to think that the media is their enemy if you just look at what people think about the media.
This poll from YouGov shows that more than 6 in 10 Trump supporters agree with him that the fake news media is the enemy of the people. Why do they not only distrust the coverage, but insist it's hostile to America?
Well, I think there's two things we know pretty strongly about how people learn and develop political attitudes. One, they tend to choose politicians that they trust or parties that they trust. And this is some work by Gabriel Lenz, who's a political scientist at the University of California. He wrote a book called Follow the Leader, and that it tends to be what they do. They tend to adopt the positions of a preferred politician and kind of follow those throughout their lives. The other thing is that people tend to learn about politics and develop political attitudes through in-group and out-group ideas. So if Trump is saying the media are an out-group, they are not like you, they are not helping you, they are not helping you to understand politics, you should listen to me, it sets up a very strong in-group, out-group dynamic for his supporters. And so you say, I like Trump, I'm going to stick with Trump. Trump says not to like the media, I'm not going to like the media. The same way, the opposite party is an out-group, Liberals have become an out-group for those same people. I think that it's two very powerful dynamics that are combining. At the same time, like you say, 60% of Trump supporters may agree with that statement, but overall, Republicans haven't trusted the media for a very long time. If you look at polls, media trust has been hovering at around 30% for well over the last decade among Republicans, and it's gone down a bit since then, but not really a whole lot. So, you know, I think that it's an acceleration of things that already are happening, and it's a real compounding of trends in how people learn about politics.
Going back to that poll, among Democrats, 74% said they have at least a fair amount of confidence in the press, which is up 23% from last year. What do you attribute that jump?
That, to me, is the more interesting finding of the poll. I'm not surprised that Trump supporters don't like the media. I'm a little bit surprised that Democrats have this huge, 23 points is a very large jump and is much larger than the corresponding decrease from Republicans. And I think it has to do with that in-group, out-group dynamic that I described. There's a bit of the enemy of my enemy is my friend going on with Democrats and the media. And I think you see this in the surge of subscriptions to the Washington Post and the New York Times, which Trump may call them the failing New York Times, but his own rhetoric is actually leading them to be quite a bit less failing than they were just about 2 years ago, because there is this corresponding increase in Democrats' approval of the media. Democratic approval of the media was right around 50 this time last year. I think a lot of Democrats were unhappy with how the media covered Hillary Clinton throughout the campaign. And so in the first year of the Trump administration, as Trump has escalated his rhetoric against the press, Democrats have responded by embracing the press and by treating the press as an in-group, because their out-group, the leader of their out-group says that the media is an out-group. So Democrats are now much more favorably predisposed to the media than they were.
Well, let's bring in a call now. Let's go to Steve in Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think fake news, the concept has changed over the course of the year to really be more biased news. And a perfect example is even the start of this segment, which talked about the poll that was out there where, 50% of the population in this poll talked about Fox News being biased. Well, if you take half the population, roughly half is Republican, the other half is Democrat. The only legitimate conservative news outlet out there is Fox. Of course, all the Democrats are going to say Fox News is fake, and the other mainstream media outlets will be split among the Republicans. But there was no context given to that. That's where I think Trump is talking about, and a lot of the conservatives are talking about fake news. It's really the biased news.
Yeah, Steve, thank you so much. Let's go back to Joshua here. What do you make of that?
I'd agree with that. I think that fake news has become a bit transformed from what its initial meaning was. I think at the end of last year in the presidential campaign, there were a couple stories about teenagers in Macedonia starting websites with completely false stories so that they could get ad revenue from people clicking on them. That's fake news. That was when that term first arose during the campaign. Literally completely fabricated stories from non-reliable news outlets was the definition of fake news. However, it's really become a synonym for news I don't agree with or news that is, in my opinion, quite biased. And so I'm not totally surprised. I think the caller's right in that Fox is clearly the most prominent outlet on the right, whereas there's a bit more of a split on what constitutes a liberal outlet. Are mainstream outlets liberal in nature anyway? Is there really a full-throated Democratic TV station the way that Fox has gotten that reputation for Republicans? Not really in some of those ways. And so, yeah, I think it's become a synonym, and that's how Trump's using it, except when it's in that quote you played earlier, perhaps inconvenient to him, where he all of a sudden wants to draw distinctions.
Steve, thanks so much for calling in with those observations. Joshua, how does the president's comments and his tweets toward the media impact how they cover him?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think it's one worth really exploring, and as somebody who studies media, something that I'm interested in. I think that, like I said, the attitudes are about the same as they've been. Democrats are more favorable, Republicans are less favorable. What's really going to be interesting is if it changes the media's behavior. I think we've seen an increased cost for mistakes in the media. I actually think we've seen quite frankly, the transparency of the media processes increase as the media has been more and more and more careful to not make mistakes. I think the fake story planted about the Roy Moore accuser in Alabama is a really good example of this, where the Washington Post was able to expose her as somebody who was lying about having been in Alabama, lying about her experience with Roy Moore, and was able to do so by really rigorous processes of journalistic fact-checking, taping their interviews, pursuing research on her. They absolutely did not do what the people that were trying to expose them were trying to get them to do, which was just accept some random person's word for it and run the story. And so I'm not sure that it's happening, but I think we're in a moment where these journalistic fact-checking processes are becoming even more prominent and public. And that means that when there's failures of it, such as the CNN Russia story from a couple months ago that turned out to be lacking in facts, or the that didn't pass their standards, or the Brian Ross story from just this past week.
And we're going to talk about Brian Ross in a little while. But yes, go ahead.
No, just those. We can talk about that in greater detail later. But there's a lot of evidence that the media is still doing what it does very, very well. And one of the ways we know that is when it fails. However, when it fails, it becomes a much larger story. And so there's certainly a chance that with a larger penalty for failures, that certain people in the media will become a little bit more risk averse in their reporting, which I think would be a bad thing.
We're talking with Joshua Dar this hour of the morning show. He is an assistant professor of political communication at Louisiana State University. He studies American government and political communication with an emphasis on political behavior, campaign strategy, and the media. We're talking about the rise of fake news, how it impacts Americans. You can join this conversation, 800-642-1234. How do you rate the media coverage of the Trump presidency? Has it generally been fair to you? Hostile to you? Do you see it as the enemy of the American people? Join in, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague Mike Arnold. This is our year-end membership drive here on Wisconsin Public Radio. We count on you, count on the Ideas Network for in-depth talk about the issues, and then we count on you to keep these discussions going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference, both this year and as we head into 2018 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, and Kate, we're getting off to a good start. We're really having lots of people come out and support Wisconsin Public Radio. And we have a special incentive for you this hour. We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from 9XM Leadership Circle members, including donors from Wisconsin Rapids and La Crosse. Your gift of $50 turns to $100, $100 turns to $200. It's up to $4,900. So we'd like to take advantage of all of that. So your pledge now will help us not only take advantage of the dollar-for-dollar match, but get every single dollar of that match in this hour. So take advantage of the match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You hear great guests all day long on the Ideas Network. This is a unique radio service in the nation, in the country, and your support makes it possible. So pledge now for the station you rely on, the station you enjoy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And during this holiday season, you can also give something extra when you support Wisconsin Public Radio. Your donation makes the programs you love possible. And you can also ask for one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month.
These thank you gifts provide meals to those facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. Do two good things with your gift right now to WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I decided to become a sustainer because instead of writing that one check every year, I thought, I don't want to have to worry, did I remember to do it? How much did I give before? Just set it up and let it flow and know that it's happening. I feel much better knowing that without my being able to screw up. WPR is getting that support regularly.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
She captured exactly why I'm a sustainer, because I always forget stuff. If you're one of those people, now's the time to join her and me and everybody else and be a sustainer right now. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Set it and don't forget it. You'll always be supporting the radio station you rely on. I'm Mike Arnold with Kate Archer Kent, and we're raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and everything you enjoy on the air. Whether you make a pledge of $10 a month, $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And the cool thing is we have a dollar-for-dollar match that is underway, up to $4,900. The match is in effect right now. It is a great time to pledge because 9XM Leadership Circle members, including donors from Wisconsin Rapids and La Crosse, will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. Double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And is WPR worth more than Stranger Things to you? Well, if that's the case, maybe you should pledge the same amount you pledge for Netflix every month. You pay a certain amount
for Netflix. I see where you're going with this.
I think Good Conversations, I mean, it's a wonderful show. But you know, just think about other things you pay for on a regular basis. You're used to doing that. All we're asking you to do is pledge what this is worth to you. You know that Wisconsin Public Radio provides value to you. And some suggested amounts include what you pay a month on Netflix or maybe cable.
Coffee, tea, which like WPR is probably something you look forward to every day. We can vouch for that. Pledge now. You pick the amount. It doubles. Your pledge makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And that dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. How often do you have people say, yeah, I will match your pledge? It doesn't happen very often. So do it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support Wisconsin Public Radio. It'll go twice as far.
Support WPR listening. Contribute now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. Across the pond in the UK, a newspaper industry logo was launched yesterday, reassuring readers that they are being protected from fake news. We're talking about it on this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The new symbol has been produced by the Independent Press Standards Organization to help the public in ensuring that what they read is genuine rather than fake news. Newspapers, websites, and magazines are on board, including the Daily Telegraph. The slogan that accompanies the symbol states "For press freedom with responsibility." We're talking about the rise of fake news with Josh Darr. He's an assistant professor of political communication at Louisiana State University, where he studies American government. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you rate the media coverage of the Trump administration, the Trump presidency? Has it been generally fair or hostile? What do you think and where does it come from? 800-642-1234. Josh, let's talk about the Brian Ross situation at ABC News on Friday evening during coverage that Trump's former national security advisor Michael Flynn would plead guilty that morning to lying to the FBI about his contacts with the Russians. And here is what Ross reported.
He's prepared to testify, we are told by a confidant, against President Trump, against members of the Trump family, and others in the White House. He's prepared to testify that President Trump, as a candidate, Donald Trump, ordered him, directed him to make contact with the Russians, which contradicts all that Donald Trump has said at this point.
So Ross was saying that Flynn was going to testify that the president was colluding with the Russians during the campaign. On the heels of that bombshell, the Dow Jones dropped 350 points. Though it did make up most of those losses by the time the day was over, ABC later issued a clarification. And here's Ross again, this time on World News Tonight.
A clarification tonight on something one of Flynn's confidants told us and we reported earlier today. He said the president had asked Flynn to contact Russia during the campaign. He's now clarifying that, saying, according to Flynn, candidate Trump asked him during the campaign to find ways to repair relations with Russia and other hotspots. And then after the election, the president-elect asked him to, and told him to contact Russia on issues, including working together to fight ISIS.
So the upshot is ABC suspended Ross for 4 weeks without pay. How big a deal was that whole Ross report?
Well, it certainly made a big splash when it first came out. I think the way that the news on the Russia investigation has come out, it's been a drip, drip, drip. And so I think people, that certainly seemed like the floodgates had opened for a second. And I think people got excited about that. But this is the problem of reporting a news story based on one source. I don't doubt what Brian Ross said in his first or his second statement there, in that somebody told him one thing and then somebody told him something else. And, you know, these news stories tend to want to have more than one source. And that's why, that you don't want to have to walk back a story and end up on a 4 week vacation because your source changed their mind or just said, no, I didn't speak very clearly there. And so I think that it's in one way, it's a correction on a pretty important story that may lead people to be less trustworthy of the media. I think that that's a very high standard to hold the media to. I think we should hold them to that kind of a high standard, however. But, you know, that they're going to occasionally make mistakes in that way. But the fact that ABC has come down on him so hard with a 4 weeks, forced vacation, you might say, that I think that leads people to say, well, at least they do seem to care about getting things right. At least I hope, and I think ABC hopes that's what they're going for. The same thing with the CNN Russia story from a few months ago. All three of those reporters were fired. And so you can say, well, haha, this is proof that the media is giving us fake news, when really it's proof that the media is very, very risk averse, does not want to make these kind of mistakes, and is furious when these mistakes happen, because it does impact their credibility. And maybe one of the changes, like we talked about in the last segment, in the Trump era, is that the penalties for getting things wrong might be higher, because the potential downside of people losing trust in the media is also much higher when they make mistakes.
And also, are these journalists moving at just the breakneck speed in which everyone is trying to be first, trying to be new, trying to be fresh, and trying to break the story sooner? Can that also have an impact on the quality of the reporting?
Yeah, I think this is a very different news cycle, in that it used to be a 24-hour news cycle, and now it's maybe a 24-second news cycle. It really is quite important to be first. However, often that means getting things wrong. I actually show my classes the clip from the Supreme Court case on the ACA ruling, where Obama, or the individual mandate was upheld as a tax. It was initially struck down as part of the Commerce Clause. And so for about 5 minutes, CNN and Fox were running with that the individual mandate had been struck down back in 2012, when in reality it had been upheld and they hadn't read to the second page. And so this has been something that's been, I think, accelerating and is a dangerous trend. I think that it's far more important in the end for media to get these things right and get sources. And the New York Times and the Washington Post are both very well sourced in the White House and are running stories with 10, 15, 20 different sources on background. And so there are things that are, you know, people are still talking to the media. And I think that's sort of an underrated issue in terms of Trump calling the news fake, is that quite a few of his own people, and perhaps him himself, are talking to the media quite frequently. But getting those two sources, at least making sure you're interpreting something right and getting something out there that does not need to be corrected, is the most important thing the media can do right now. And I think by and large, they're doing a good job of it. You'll just see more coverage of the exceptions.
Let's go to Barry, who joins us from Spooner. Hi, Barry.
Good morning. I kind of take a different look at when they talk about fake news, and that's that it seems to be agenda-oriented and not objective, that everything seems to be an editorial now without the disclosure. You don't see just the news reporting. There's like an agenda towards it. If they want to make a group look bad, you find the worst-looking person to talk to and interview. I mean, it seems like they have a goal, and then they find a story to get there.
Josh, go ahead. Agenda.
Sure. Well, I think that the media certainly does set the agenda, the policy agenda, in terms of what's being talked about. But they're, in terms of finding supporters or particularly interesting people, outliers, you might say. I think that that's always been a bit of a trend in media, in terms of getting a sensational story or getting something that seems like it might be a bit more out there, something to run a story in that way. I think it's tempting to paint the media with a broad brush. I don't think that every media organization is doing this in equal ways, and there are a lot of clearly delineated editorials that are being put out there. But you know, if that's a trend that's happening, if that's what people see as being a trend of who's being spoken to, then that's a problem, because then even the more normal, credible people that are being spoken to are going to be seen as, well, they're selecting the most controversial people to talk to. But these are also, as you said, there's a breakneck pace of things. These are controversial times, and people are going to hold these kind of controversial opinions. And so it's important that those be represented in the media as well.
And we are talking with Josh Darr, who stays with us, about the rise of fake media. How do you rate the media coverage of the Trump administration, the Trump presidency? How has it generally been? Have you seen it fair or hostile? What is your take on the Brian Ross story at ABC News? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, here with my colleague Mike Arnold, and we're here to talk about the year-end membership drive underway at Wisconsin Public Radio. Your financial support, it is the foundation for all the great discussions you enjoy on the Ideas Network every single day. Make your tax-deductible year-end gift right now for 2017 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we do have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now, so you can double your money by making your pledge. And why are you supporting Wisconsin Public Radio? It's because it's a place where there are civil conversations, and there are a lot of people, it doesn't matter which political spectrum you're from, who will agree that it's a little bit more of a polarized environment now in terms of having conversations about issues like this. And one of the things we're committed to at the Ideas Network is having conversations where both sides of the issue or multiple sides of the issue can come together and have a civil conversation. Isn't civility worth something? You think so. That's why you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. So make a pledge right now for these kind of conversations that we have on this program.
Take a few minutes to make this hour and so many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have about $2,900 left in that dollar-for-dollar match. We do not want to leave a single dollar on the table, so your pledge right now at that time will support the station you love.
Thank you if you've already given, by the way. And if you haven't, help pay for the programs that you enjoy by making your contribution, your year-end tax-deductible gift right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Listeners who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio are the most dependable source of income for the station. It's also the single largest source of funding for this station. And 9XM members are an important part of that picture as well. The 9XM leadership gift of $100 a month makes WPR the sustainable resource it is today, tomorrow, and well into the future.
So help us stay strong and continue to grow with your leadership gift of $100 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
Dining room chairs, because I eat in front of the TV more often than I should.
I think I bought a $5 pair of wireless headphones once, thinking, how bad can they be? They were pretty bad.
Decorative holiday towels.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. One you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
Yes, think of your return on investment, your ROI. Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Arnold. Listener support is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on, and that is why your support during this year-end membership drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And no matter what amount you choose, it's double because we have a dollar-for-dollar match right now just for the next few minutes. We need to take advantage of that. So if you've been meaning to make your pledge, but you need something to give you that extra lift, that is a reason to do it. You don't walk into the gas station and have somebody pay for half of your gas. You don't walk into the grocery store and have somebody pay for half of your groceries. But for some reason or another, we have some people who are willing to pay for your pledge and double it right now. So as we look ahead to 2018, we're so grateful that Wisconsin Public Radio has such strong listener support. One gift at a time, listeners provide the single largest source of funding. So if you haven't given yet this year, now's the time. And if you haven't given this year, we appreciate your extra year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As Mike said, our dollar-for-dollar match still in effect. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And this pledge drive, you can do two good things at once. You can choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month, and you'll provide meals to those in need in your area. It's a really great thing to do while you pledge for WPR. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much for your support. The rise of social media has broken down many of the boundaries that prevented fake news from spreading in democracies. Before the internet, Facebook and Twitter allow people to exchange information on a greater scale than ever before. We're exploring the rise of fake news this hour with Joshua Dar. He's an assistant professor of political communication at Louisiana State University, where he studies American government and political communication with an emphasis on political behavior and the media. You can join in 800-642-1234. How do you rate the media coverage of the Trump White House? Do you see it as the enemy of the American people? Join in 800-642-1234. Let's go to John, who joins us from Menominee. Hi, John.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to add to the previous caller. I mean, yes, there's a certain amount of agenda driven, but it's not just that. It's also the heavy spin put on so many articles. And it feels like so many articles are printed. Before it even gets printed, they start with an opinion and they're going out to prove it. No, that's not a scientific, that's not a moral standpoint as a journalist to approach any story.
Well, let's get Josh to respond to spin. Josh, go ahead.
Sure. So I think that sort of goes along with what the previous caller said. If people are discerning a clear spin, a clear agenda in what the media is doing and how they're reporting on it, if it seems like the conclusion is preordained, then people are going to be naturally distrustful of it. But I do think what you pointed out in your introduction about social media breaking down these barriers, I think is particularly important, and even for this as well. People used to receive the news in a coherent package of either a 30-minute newscast or a radio broadcast like yours or a newspaper where it was all bundled together in the same way. Now they're getting one story from here, one story from there. This story grabbed my attention. I agree with this story. The dynamics that lead to sharing a story on social media are very similar, are going to things that people might talk to each other about, and what that leads to is stories that do make a splashier headline, or stories that do reinforce the opinion of the person that shared it, are the ones that are going to be more likely to be shared. And so if you're getting your news through social media, where you used to be getting it through cable news, network news, newspapers, you're going to end up seeing more of those kind of stories, and probably going to end up seeing more stories you agree with, because people in your social network are going to be more like you. And so there may be a sense that these biased media dynamics, or that fake or poorly sourced news is on the rise, when really people are just being exposed to it more because the delivery systems of news have changed.
John, thanks for calling in. Let's now go to Nate, who joins us from Milwaukee. Hi, Nate.
Hi, thank you. I was going to mention that I thought fake news, I mean, news that was really fake, has been around for years before now. And just let me refer to a few groups as examples. You've got Judicial Watch, which is has a lot of online ads. At one point, they claimed that ISIS had a training camp in Mexico just outside of Texas. That was looked into as false. You've got local right-wing radio personalities, like whenever Vicky McKenna invites on a global warming denier to say something misleading. You've got the Project Veritas guy that you referred to once before, who was actually able to get himself on Fox News' national TV without them doing enough fact-checking of the Acorn story. For example, he lied about not only how he dressed and presented himself, but when he edited the videos, he made it look like one of the Acorn staffers was willing to help him smuggle women to the prostitutes in a brothel.
And Nate, thank you for that list. Let's get Josh to jump in here. The longer these sources are around, do they become more reliable, more widespread?
Sure. So I think that there's already, I think the caller is onto something in that there's been a blurred line between advocacy groups and what you might want to call fake news. I think the big change has been the use of the term fake news from the bully pulpit of the presidency. I think that has made it much more of a common term in the cultural arena, where we can now say fake news about things we disagree with, things that are perhaps objectively false, but were already out there. I think that we end up blurring that line, I think, dangerously when we call, you know, maybe something like a global warming denier a fake news. I think that the term fake news needs to mean something. And the president has seemed to willfully blur that line. But for me, and I think for a lot of the scholarly community, fake news means something very particular, which is the sort of exploiting clicks to find news stories that are completely fabricated for the purposes, essentially, of fake clicks. I think if we start to get into calling the positions of advocacy groups fake, that we end up, you know, even if they're scientifically wrong or against the consensus or can't be verified with a secondary source or whatnot, I think we end up getting into a blurred area that actually ends up feeding into the dynamics of how Trump is using fake news, which is things that I disagree with. And for me, I think it's worth preserving some sanctity of what that term fake news really means, and not just applying it to everything that we disagree with.
Let's take for a moment an example of Breitbart News. Do you find that Breitbart falls in that blurred area, and then the relationships with Steve Bannon?
Sure. I think Breitbart is actually a good test case, like you say. I think that people come to the news for many reasons. I think we are operating under an assumption, maybe, that people use the news to find out facts about the world and then use those facts to make up their mind about what they're going to do politically. And I think that's perhaps one motivation for a lot of people. But I think a lot of people want to have their worldviews reinforced. And I think this is true on both sides of the aisle. And so, you know, having somebody who runs a news network working in the White House certainly presents some conflicts that are formerly working in the White House, presents some conflicts that may be problematic. But if you're coming to Breitbart News hoping to sort of objectively figure out what's going on in the world, I don't think people are doing that. I think that they already agree with largely what that website is saying, and I think that they're using that website to reinforce their own views, the same way many liberals would do with websites that are, you know, going to give them more democratically framed news. I think we're perhaps limiting ourselves if we think information is the only motivation here. People want to hear that they're right. And a lot of news sites now exist that will tell them that.
Nate, thanks for calling in. Let's go to Charlie in Milwaukee. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think it's on both sides that there's a lot of biased news sites, both on the left as well as the right. And I think part of that is due to the fact that this costs money and people are going to frequent sites that they enjoy or that reinforce their views. So if they're going to spend money or frequent sites for advertising, they're going to go to the sites that they enjoy. Nobody is going to go to the totally unbiased site, and those aren't going to make any money. Therefore, they're going to fall away and not be able to survive in today's economy.
Josh, how would you respond to what Charlie's saying there?
I think he's absolutely right. I think there's a real economic motivation to a lot of this. I think that there is now, in a really fractured media environment, there is a real economic benefit in finding a small but committed audience. So the rise of the objectivity norm, so news organizations wanting to be objective, really came in the late half of the 20th century when you had three news networks competing at the same time slot every day. And they, in order to be economically competitive, wanted to appeal to as many consumers as possible. That economic model has changed, and now you can get enough advertising revenue to sustain your site by attracting a core committed group of supporters and finding companies that are willing to advertise there. Now, there have been a couple controversies this year where advertisers have pulled their support from different shows. Certainly, this has happened several times on Fox News this year and has happened on a couple different websites as well. So people may be able to pressure advertisers, even if they're not viewers of that network, and then those advertisers are going to have to make those decisions. But in general, you can make a pretty good living by attracting a small group of core supporters that are going to keep coming back to your site. And telling them that they're right, appealing to them in a biased way, is a nice way to find that group of people.
Well, Joshua, thank you so much for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Joshua Dar is an assistant professor of political communication at Louisiana State University, where he studies American government and political communication with an emphasis on political behavior, campaign strategy, and the media. We've been discussing this hour the rise of fake news. And this hour was produced by Bill Martins and Keely Baltina, with technical direction from executive producer Michelle Johnson. And now we're going to take a few moments here to discuss our year-end membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Arnold. This is your chance to support the programs that you count on every day here on the Ideas Network, programs that keep you in touch, informed, interested, enlightened. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important as we end this year and look forward to 2018.
And we do have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect, so we hope you'll take advantage of that. Just in the next few minutes, we are just about $1,000 away from meeting that match, but we know you can do it. Make that pledge right now. And this past hour is a great example of what makes Wisconsin Public Radio unique. We talked about a relatively hot button issue.
Yep.
Fake news. Mm-hmm. But we heard a lot of different perspectives. We didn't hear just one take on it. And a lot of the perspectives actually allowed you to look at it in a different way. You appreciate that. You value that. You think there should be a place where you hear different perspectives on things. And we sift and winnow through the issues of the world. That's why you're supporting the conversations we have on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you. Then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have about $1,000 in matching money available in the next few minutes. We can do it if we have 10 people pledge $100, if we have one person pledge $1,000. It doesn't really matter, but we really do want to keep all of this matching money right now. Your gift now is so important. Support the programs you rely on every day.
And thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, the time is now. Time is of an essence. Give right now during this match at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552.
And a great way to support Wisconsin Public Radio is by becoming a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you'll make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or credit card.
Many people give $10 or $20 a month. You choose whatever amount is right for you. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Join the community of listeners here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Whether you've been listening for years, there are some people who've been listening since they were children.
Backseat listeners.
Maybe you've been listening just a few months. Doesn't really matter. You can all be part of the community. We can all come together. People who support the programs they value.
You're part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners, as Mike said. Whether you've been listening for years or just a few months, now is the time to make your pledge here while we have a match at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dollar for dollar match. I tell you what, it doesn't happen very often in life where people believe in the things that you believe in and want to support it as well. You can leverage your money right now and double it by making a pledge. It only takes a couple minutes. I know you're going to be busy later, so make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks.